Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
A rainy night here in Lansing. It'll be the same tomorrow, but this weekend we're going to see some nice sunny skies. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Welcome to the program. On today's show, the Lansing Police Department getting almost $2.5 million in federal grant money that will lead to 11 positions being reinstated after this summer's layoffs. But has the reduced number of officers impacted the department's ability to respond to crime in the capital city? I'll ask Police Chief Teresa Szymanski. And the UAW contract with GM ratified, although 35% of the union voting no on the contract, including Lansing's UAW Local 602. What kind of a deal did union workers end up getting? I'll get all the details from an auto industry analyst. But first, it looks like we'll be seeing a lot more charter schools in Michigan as Republican lawmakers push for the measure as part of extensive education reform. But are they really a better option than traditional public schools? To talk about that, I'm joined by Dan Quisenberry. He's the president of the Michigan Association of Public School Academies. Welcome to the program, Dan.
Thank you, Michael. I'm glad to be here, and thank you for having us.
I had Western Michigan University professor Gary Miron on the program yesterday. He's extensively researched charter schools. One thing he said from the outset is that charter school students do not consistently or dramatically outperform students in traditional public schools. Do you agree that both systems provide about the same quality of education?
There's a lot of disagreement about what Professor Myron's research says. So, there's three categories of research on charter schools, and this has been discussed for 15 years. There's a category of people who support charter schools that have their research. There's people like Professor Myron who don't support charter schools that have their research. And there's widely respected research that says, we're seeing some important success, and it's part of a demonstrating choice and giving parents and communities opportunities.
So what you're saying is it's not clear what the real truth is.
No, it's very clear, but it's very important to know how you actually do the research. We're seeing success in charter schools in Michigan, and particularly when you're looking at individual students, when you're looking at individual schools, when you compare them to schools they would have otherwise had to attend.
Now, there are charter schools, though, that are not making the mark. I mean, the professor yesterday did mention that some charter schools are not actually hitting the mark when it comes to the quality of education they're giving here in Michigan, about 40 or 50 of them.
Yeah, Michael, the idea behind a charter school is when it doesn't perform, it closes. So Michigan has actually closed 50 charter schools in in the state over the last 17 years. So we have a handful of schools that are not functioning as like we would expect them to be, and there's either significant intervention going on or they will be facing closure at some point. But the vast majority of schools, there's a remarkable number that are actually excellent and beating the kinds of odds and statistics that a gentleman like Professor Myron would say, well, that's not doable in that environment with those kinds of kids. And we actually do it. And then there's the vast majority of schools are outperforming schools that kids otherwise would have had to attend. And so what you're seeing is people opening a school brand new, taking in kids that would have been left behind, and making progress with them.
Well, another thing that came up yesterday was the turnover rate for teachers at charter schools that can be apparently 40%. Isn't that a concern, and isn't having a stable teaching staff important to children?
Certainly, but again, Mr. Myron's research is kind of off. That's a phenomenon we see across the board in education. It's a concern we all have. How do we keep our best and brightest teachers in the classroom? And we do see, particularly in hard-to-teach areas like our urban centers, a dramatic increase in attrition rates there. And that's in traditional schools, public charter schools, or private and parochial schools.
What about teacher pay, though? Don't teachers, in fact, generally get paid less at charter schools than traditional schools? And doesn't that play a role in their longevity in the position?
It's not a fact. You do have to pay people competitively to keep them engaged, and our schools do. So the research, again, sometimes Professor Myron will look at averages. We don't have as many teachers that are 25-year tenured teachers, so the pay scales are different. You got to take experience and longevity into it. A brand new school is going to have a higher percentage of new teachers. So yes, pay has to be competitive. In fact, a lot of our schools are looking at innovative ways to pay and compensate teachers to try to keep the best and the brightest doing the work that we really need them to do in our urban centers.
I'm talking to Dan Quisenberry. He's the president of the Michigan Association of Public School Academies. Dan, some charter schools are nonprofit, but apparently many are for-profit, which can lead to some problems since we all know that any company, and for any company, profit and increasing profit is generally the goal and the point of running a business. Wouldn't this ultimately impact the quality of education for in a for-profit school?
Well, again, you got to go back and look at the actual facts, which shows that our schools are outperforming schools that are like them. Another myth that's out there. 70% of our schools do have an entity that manages some function of the school, but they can be for-profit, non-profit. It might be a single school entity that helps a school find a facility and get financing for that facility. So, no, I don't see a problem. It's really a matter of looking at those academic outcomes. Charter schools also get $1,300 less per student. So we think it's the best incentive for taxpayers to say, hey, how do you create competition, hold them accountable for outcomes, and then expect people to actually do more with the fewer dollars that they have. And if somebody can make a profit doing that, God bless them. But some people are just literally using that as a way to pay private investors that might be helping them with a facility or actually trying to capitalize other things that taxpayers might have otherwise had to pay for. Hmm.
Although if we're talking about public funds, it seems strange that there'd be any profit. Shouldn't most of the money or all the money that is there that might be being used for profit, shouldn't that go into the school itself?
Well, this is the United States of America, and all the dollars, all the information is public. But there are people who we ask to provide a public service and allow them to make a profit, whether it's building a road, offering a medical service, or yes, even teachers and even teachers' unions make profit off of things. So it's a matter of, is there transparency? Is there accountability? And how do we attract high quality and hold people accountable for outcomes?
Critics of a major expansion of charters say it will take away money from traditional public schools and will produce an even greater instability in the student body and a lack of predictability for school boards. Are those not legitimate concerns?
Our first concern needs to be, how do we create higher quality schools for every single student? And we have, unfortunately, Michael, schools in this state that aren't performing well. So charter schools are public schools. And what we decided as a state with Proposal A was, we're going to allow parents to allocate where those dollars go. So when a student walks across the street from the Lansing Public Schools Building A to Lansing Public School Building B, the dollars kind of follow that child. Mm-hmm. Same thing as they walk across the street to a charter public school. We're saying parents know best, and that because they're footing the bill as a taxpayer, they should take those dollars with them to the school they think will best meet the need for their kid.
Do you think there should be any limit on the number of charter schools in Michigan, or should there be just as many as the market allows?
I think as many as the market allows, and that's a really important idea, Michael. It is a limit. Charter schools are not going to open up where they're not necessary or not needed. We have 17 years of experience here in Michigan and how we do that. People who run schools know enough, hey, we don't want to open up where there may not be a need or where there may be already some very excellent schools. Authorizers are not going to allow that to happen because they don't want to open a school that just by lack of attendance may suffer. So we think those are the governing things right now, and that a cap on the schools is just an arbitrary number at this stage.
Now, teachers at charter schools, they're not unionized, so the growth of charter schools is certainly a threat to teachers' unions. Do you view teachers' unions as a hindrance to the education system? And if not, should charter school teachers be allowed to unionize?
They are allowed to unionize. The real question is, what's the most important way to achieve academic success? And any adult, whether it's on the school board or whether it's poor administration or something, if there's an obstacle being created as adults to getting great student outcomes, we ought to think about whether we ought to deal with that as adults and make sure kids are prioritized.
Are teachers' unions an obstacle, then, in your view?
They haven't chosen to be engaged. We're actually going to see for the first time in 17 years, the American Federation of Teachers in Detroit is going to open up its own charter school in Detroit. And we've been very supportive of that process. But otherwise, they just have opposed the ideas politically and have chosen not to be involved in the schools.
Thank you very much. Dan Quisenberry, the president of the Michigan Association of Public School Academies. Dan, thank you very much for your time.
Hey, Michael, appreciate the opportunity.